If you're expecting the beginning of this program this week to be a happy-go-lucky intro, unfortunately, due to the actions of one Tony Khan and AEW, we start off with something I attempt to do not much of, but when there's a bunch of goofy shit in the world of professional wrestling, sometimes you can't brush it off. You can't let it slide. The inability to be able to allow this to take place and not say something about it, that pretty much has gone way out the fucking window. So I didn't even know, for my personal self, I didn't know this was actually going to happen. Like, I didn't hear about it on Saturday, whatever. I must have passed by it on Twitter. It'd be like that sometimes. But apparently, as the story goes, during night one of WrestleMania weekend, AEW on Collision, which, no, had the grand fucking idea to let the world know they were going to be putting out the AEW Brawl in situation with which we did talk about here on this podcast many moons ago about CM Punk pretty much not necessarily throwing hands, but, you know, putting the hands around someone's throat and, you know, making them wish they actually didn't say what they had said about 3 seconds prior to that happening. The footage of CM Punk and Jack Perry was going to come out. Apparently, and like I said, I knew nothing about this. I was too busy worrying about WrestleMania and, you know, hanging out in the Discord chat with Nate and Fretz all weekend. And shout out to Nate and Fretz. One time for the one time, you know, it was a vibe. And knowing that Ricky and Will were there, it was a vibe. Seeing pictures from Kay, you know, having the wonderful spread that I saw. Don't act like I didn't see it. Don't act like I didn't see Kay. It was very wonderfully presented. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, with all that happening, the announcement, you know, of Brawlin' was going to come out. Then Wednesday happened. I'll try to be as visual as I can, you know, with how I, you know, came about this knowledge. As of this recording right now, today's Thursday. So this is pretty much, I'm talking about what happened yesterday. I can't even fathom. I can't even fathom the thought process that had somehow Tony Khan thinking, I'm going to put out this goddamn footage and I'm going to shit on CM Punk and destroy his whole career. As I said in my tweet yesterday, or should I say Wednesday, because you're listening to this on Saturday, foolish me. Saw the footage of what happened with Perry and Punk. Saw what happened with what the Young Bucks did with the promo. Saw what happened with the crowd, you know, seeing the actual footage and then chanting CM Punk in the goddamn crowd. And on top of that, Young Bucks come out and they were chanting CM Punk while the Bucks were in the fucking ring with the whole FTR shit. Whole FTR promo, I should say. I saw the footage. We all seen it. At this point, unless you're living under a rock and you have no internet and you don't believe in it, yeah, we've seen this. We saw it. And then I saw the footage of CM Punk's interview with Ariel Helwani. Then I resaw the footage of the crowd chanting CM Punk as they were watching the Brawlin' footage. I'm trying to keep my thoughts together because I don't want to go off just yet. And all I see on Twitter on Wednesday night is just pure shitting on AEW. Keep in mind, unless you're an AEW diehard, you already know the schedule. Dynasty is in 2 weeks. AEW Dynasty is in 2 fucking weeks. Top two matches that at least I know of on the card: Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland for the AEW World Championship, and Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay. And, of course, now knowing FTR versus Young Bucks for the tag titles, for the vacant tag team championships. And instead of focusing on those, at least those three matches, you focus on a guy who is not in your fucking company. Because of whatever the fuck that incident was, and don't worry, I got Tony Khan in this just a second. Because of what happened at Brawl In, he basically got fired from the company. If that is what gets you fired from the company, now what the fuck are we doing? Yeah, I mean, everything Punk said in the interview with Helwani was pretty much dead on to what we saw in the video. Can we clearly say that? And I can understand, you know, people saying, you know, like, yeah, that was messed up what CM Punk did. Yeah, but Jack Perry was kind of asking for it. Right before his match with Samoa Joe, that incident goes down the DMs. This looks terrible for AEW. You basically show Jack Perry being looked at, you know, punked out like a small nugget. Like, what are we doing here? Mans has been gone from AEW for 7 months. And I saw the tweets, bro. Might as well not even come back to AEW. Might as well just stay in Japan. This looks terrible for AEW. If that's what Tony Khan was fearing his life over, bruh, come on, man. You were fearing for your life over that? Over that? You were feeling for your life, my guy? Come on, bruh. There's no way on God's green earth and you would be fearing for your life over that. Like, I saw a tweet, I think it was Issa, wonderful, you know, friend of the Wrestling at a Radio Squadron, doing the interviews at WrestleMania. I saw that. Shout out to Issa one time as well. And she was, I think it was the tweet, like, she was talking with her friend who knows nothing about wrestling, pretty much showed her what was going on. I think her friend said, like, something along the lines of, I've seen worse fights between little kids at the playground. Like, what the, like, damn. If to a mother, that is just light, something wrong here, bro. I saw WCW 2000. I believe that was trending on Twitter at one point. Because this is basically on that level. I think I saw a tweet saying, you know, damn, what was the tweet? Let me think on it real quick. This was a good tweet too. Damn. If it comes back to me, it comes back to me. We ain't gonna take too long. I saw the looks on Tony Schiavone's face. Then I saw what, you know, the embarrassment on Renee Paquette's face when Will Ospreay decided, you know, throw shade on Triple H when he wasn't even throwing shade on you. Bruv. If you felt some type of way about that, Will, I understand. But that made it from bad to worse. Like, what are we doing here? Bully Ray fucking said, you know, before I go to bed, I'm going to be praying for AEW. This is bad. This is real bad. This is a very bad situation. Again, 2 weeks before your pay-per-view, this is what you spend 1 week on? This is what you spend a week's build on? Trying to build a storyline off of what happened at Brawl In? It didn't even work. Whatever they were trying to fucking do, to try to get this, whatever the fuck this is, over, this was egregious. An abomination of what we believe is professional wrestling. This is petty. Beyond any train of thought that even I hold in my head. That's petty. Tony Khan should be ashamed of himself for putting that out. Fuck kayfabe. Not our kayfabe. They're cool. My apologies. Didn't want to misgender, my fault. They're cool as fuck. This kayfabe, though, is garbage. We love our kayfabe. Because they're the owner of soon-to-be, you know, next World Tag Team Champions in the form of Boris and Frankie Tortellini. AEW kayfabe, though, absolute garbage. Absolute dog shit. How dare you? Is the question that came up in my head as I was checking out these tweets and really laying it into my head, you know, exactly what just happened. When you get to the point where you're trying to copyright strike people who are reacting to what had occurred on Wednesday night, there's a problem. When Dave Meltzer says this wasn't even a good idea, this was a bad idea, something's wrong. The entire IWC, for the most part, basically shit on this, and they fucking deserve it. You mean to tell me this is what we're going to focus on? And bruh, let me move past that. My heart goes out of Swerve Strickland right now. I was listening to JD from NY206, and I know some of y'all out there in the IWC are not fond of this man. I am. I dig his style. I dig how the way he gets down. It's part of the reason why I kind of have the style that I do. But dude was spot on in terms of not even focusing on Swerve Strickland. Again, I said it on Twitter on Wednesday. Two things immediately popped into my head. AEW is fucking stupid, along those lines, of course. And my heart goes up to Swerve Strickland right now. On a man who was possibly on the precipice of making legitimate history in AEW by becoming the first African-American AEW World Heavyweight Champion. Y'all motherfuckers, main focus is on a guy who doesn't even go there. CM Punk's in WWE now. Y'all fired him. Told him to peace out. Well, basically, he told Cody Khan, this is how we're going to get down. I fucking quit. But y'all fired him. Let him bounce. He gets to WWE. Doing all these cool things. You know, night two. Well, night two was when CM Punk did what he did, foreshadowing for just in a little bit. And your main focus is on a guy who doesn't even work there anymore. That's your, as many people said it, like I listened to the reactions, as many people said it, this is your biggest star in AEW right now. Not Samoa Joe. Not the Young Bucks. Your biggest star in AEW as of this very moment is CM Punk. A guy who, again, does not work there. FTR couldn't save that. FTR was not going to save that segment. Nothing could save this segment. Nothing could save what happened on Wednesday. I saw many people saying this could kill the company. And of course, we're only a few days, past what has happened, but it doesn't take away from the fact that it actually fucking happened. Pettiness of the highest order. Like, what do they think was going to fucking happen? Did Tony Khan really think in his heart of fucking hearts that this was actually going to work? To incorporate it into storyline. It landed like a meteor hit on Earth. It hit like a spirit bomb. Abso-fucking-lutely disgusting. For a company who had the fucking, apparently had the nuts to fucking just be like, yeah, we're doing this shit. But of course, there were people there thinking it was going to be like, okay, skit, kayfabe, blah, blah, blah. Stupid, goofy shit. You would expect being the elite type shit. No, that we saw the footage. This is bad. Again, it makes Jack Perry look like a small nugget. It makes Tony Khan look like a fucking goon. Again, you're fearing for your life over that, bro? Fucking Chris Hero is just like, he's pressed. Fucking Malachi Black walking in there like, yo, what the fuck? Hey, guys, what's going on? Oh, shit. What? Hey, what are we doing here? Come on, bruh. This is bad. Excruciatingly bad for AEW right now. Again, this is 2 weeks before Dynasty. 2 weeks before your pay-per-view. When you have a man, who's attempting to make history as being the first African-American world heavyweight champion, and that's not your fucking focus, we've got a fucking problem. A very big fucking problem. Danielson and Ospreay should be a focus of your show, which is one of the first matches that were announced for fucking Dynasty. And we're pulling petty shit like this. If I'm Tony Khan, I would be embarrassed right now. Absolutely fucking embarrassed. And understand that, I'm going to have to deal with the consequences of my shit. But even on top of that, the fact that you're fucking copyright striking motherfuckers because of the fact that they were watching your shit, that's vile. Take your L. And this is a big one. This is a big L for AEW. Absolutely horrific. Because what the fuck are you gonna, how are you gonna pull this up next week, bro? This is literally on the level of when WCW announced that Mankind was going to win the WWF Championship. On top of that, WWE just had a hell of a fucking weekend in WrestleMania. Cody Rhodes is officially the undisputed WWE champion. We got a new World Heavyweight Champion. We're in a new era. We're in the Paul Levesque era. And this is what we're doing? Focusing on mans who don't even work there. First man in history to be seen on WrestleMania, AEW, and Raw in the same fucking week. Out of all of this, CM Punk pretty much looks clean. Forbes fucking drooled. AEW and actually had CM Punk defeats Jack Perry backstage footage from fucking Brawl In. What? Alfred Kanua's fucking roasting your ass. He's cooking you. Not to say Alfred Kanua is not a bad fucking journalist. I'm just saying. I was shocked. I was like, damn. I'm not saying I didn't think he had it in him, but damn. Forbes trolled you. You have the entire IWC cooking you. This is absolutely dreadful. I know some of you expecting you more curse words and all that stuff. The only way I wasn't able to not say this many curse words so far is because I'm laying in bed right now. And I figured this would be, if I'm in a comfy spot instead of at the desk, and I don't want to break shit. You know what I'm saying? So we're not going to do that. We're just going to, you know, be in a comfortable position and just formulate our thoughts as best as we possibly can. I love AEW. I love professional wrestling in general. Most of it. I fuck with WWE, I fuck with AEW, I fuck with NJPW, like I fuck with all these promotions because I get to talk about it every single week with you guys. But this just makes AEW look like a bunch of petty buffoons, not focusing on what's supposed to be the things to be focusing on in their company. You go out there and pull this shit, and you wonder why everybody mad at your bum ass. After what we saw with WrestleMania this past weekend, you mean to tell me you decide in your grand fucking scheme of things, think this was just the best move for y'all? And didn't hold back. The crowd, mind you, I think the attendance was like, what, 8,000 for this show? And you're out here pulling this shit. Again, FDR couldn't save that segment. Then Will Ospreay said what he said, and I'm just like, this wasn't, no. And then I see reports that, you know, Young Bucks didn't really want to do this. Embarrassment is what AEW should be feeling right now. This is just petty, pathetic, moronic, idiotic, vile, childish things I may have ever seen in professional wrestling, as long as I've been watching professional wrestling. Again, Precipice of Making History with Swerve Strickland. focusing on a banger that more than likely will still be Danielson and Ospreay, and you're crowning new tag team champions because Sting, you know, retired and shit like that. And we're focusing on a guy who doesn't go there. And even, what makes it even the cherry on, like, on fucking top, CM Punk actually posted on in his Instagram stories a picture of a fucking George Bush with the, in the background, mission accomplished. He was right all along. Everything lined up with what he said in the interview with Ariel Helwani. I've even seen reels on Instagram of CM, of actually lining up CM Punk's audio with the video itself. And it lines up perfectly. This makes Jack Perry, like, look bad too. Jack Perry, and now in my eyes, is Small Nugget. Because CM Punk turned him, you know, made him look like Small Nugget. People were trolling, like, I thought I saw a tweet trolling fucking Jack Perry and just be like, yo, yes, since I know your man can't fight now, what's up, Anna Jay? This is where we're at. This is bad. This is horrible. Because I don't know what the fuck y'all are going to do next week. To try to figure out, like, okay, this was really bad. Oh, how are we going to counter, like, how are we going to figure this out? On top of that, Mercedes Moné apparently is not wrestling until Double or Nothing. Now, I don't know if she's fully injured or not, but, you know, I did see some footage of her, you know, doing some things in the ring, which leads me to believe maybe she's close, but we're talking Memorial Day weekend, prof. So that didn't help matters either for the faithful. AEW diehards pretty much are just like, dude, this was bullshit. Why the fuck did you do that? The rest of the IWC was like, this was absolute bullshit. Why the fuck did you do that? You got the fucking, like, you know, reporters are just like, dude, this was really, really bad. And we're just, and TK's just like, yeah, we did a thing. Man's really thought he really did something. I cannot for the life of me think why this was a great idea. It wasn't. I mean, even in our Discord, we're just like, what was that? In one of my IG group chats with people, a couple guys I used to work with, we were like, what was that? What was that? What was that? Oh, I mean, this is one of those moments where you're just like, you could honestly say, I wouldn't want to be Tony Khan right now. And most of us would be like, yeah, probably not. It wasn't even he did his best. It wasn't even he tried his best. It wasn't even like, why are we trying to, like, why are we throwing shade? Like, why are you, like, the 50 million? Like, I don't know. Like, what the fuck you say fuck me for? That's basically what this is. Why do you say fuck me for? I'm gone from your company. I've been gone for a minute. I'm in WWE now doing my Thug Thizzle for Shizzle. I'm chilling. Doing things. Fucking up Drew McIntyre's title reign because I'm petty. Because that's petty on the good side. It's not that I'm disappointed. It's just that I'm really pissed off and I'm trying not to let it show. I believe in AEW. I know AEW has had some ups and had plenty of downs. This is really, really bad of a down. This is down bad to the nth degree. Their focus wasn't in the right place. Their focus was not on what they needed to focus on, which was AEW Dynasty. They're focusing on trying to ruin a man. For what? I mean, it's already down bad to the point where you've already taken the Brawl In footage off of the promo and not have it online no mo. That's bad. That's a level of bad even I can't touch. That's a level of, like, we're fucking ourselves over. You're shooting yourselves in both feet type of situation. That's what's going on. That's what's happening to your company. Who's booking this shit? Oh, I forgot Tony. But this is not what you should be doing 2 weeks before a pay-per-view. The inaugural version of this particular pay-per-view. And we're not even focusing on the pay-per-view itself. Something's not connecting. 2 plus 2 does not equal 5. 1 plus 1 is apparently 3 in Tony Khan's world. And trust me, this is tame compared to what I heard, you know, from Solid Monster, from JD from MI206, Joe Cronin, you know, Jake DeMarco and them. You know, and I was listening to Wrestle Talk before I got to hit the record button. It's consensus. It's bad. It's very bad. Especially off the heels of Revolution, and you're building towards Dynasty. Come on, man. Like, you were getting flowers from Michael Cole, you know, congratulating Sting on his career, and his, they were acknowledging your company, showing love to Sting. And then you do this shit. Come on. Come the fuck on, man. Embarrassing is the word of the day for one Tony Khan. And he should be very embarrassed. He should be pissed off at himself. And he should really be like, you know, like, maybe this wasn't really a good idea. Same kind of, this was a bad idea on the level of when John Cena pretty much beat the Nexus at SummerSlam. And everybody was just like, oh, that's how you bury someone. And then John Cena realizing that, yeah, that was a bad idea. Maybe they should have gone over. Fucking think? Disgusting. I don't even know what AEW does from here. Again, off of what Triple H just did at Mania. And this is the shit you pull? Well, last we're talking about, you got your position by grinding on the boss's daughter? Like, bro, he wasn't even talking to you. Yes, he was trying to garner your services. Yes, and you chose AEW, but okay, Triple H is probably like, alright, cool, you know? Can't knock a man, you know, for wanting to go somewhere, you know, somewhere else. I get it. Yes, it is the grind. Yes, they do 300 days a fucking year. Yeah, the grind over in WWE is a bit different. You decided to choose AEW because they gave you the opportunity to actually, you know, be able to go home to England. And that's fine. I always stated wherever Ospreay goes, that company was going to gain a fucking blue chip star. And now Ospreay is going to be facing Danielson in Dynasty. That's what you should be focusing on. Not him, not Ospreay talking shit and Renee Paquette looking all types of embarrassed holding the mic. I saw the picture. What was it? Bash at the Beach 2000. The look on his face compared to what we saw on Wednesday night, and it's the same fucking look. I'm not saying this is on ECW December to dismember levels of bad. That just killed an entire brand in one night. But this could kill a promotion. This is going to be very hard for AEW to come back from. This wasn't even like a blunder. This wasn't like Titus O'Neil busting his ass at the Greatest Royal Rumble type of funny. At least I got enjoyment out of that. This is on a level that I don't think the AEW has undoubtedly never had faced before. And one that they're going to have to figure the fuck out. And they're going to have to do it very quickly, because again, they have a pay-per-view in 2 fucking weeks. I don't know what you do. I honestly don't know what you do. This is not even a what can you do. Feel me? This is more of a what the fuck are we gonna do? Again, 2 weeks to the pay-per-view, and we're throwing shade, or at least attempting to throw shade on a guy that doesn't even work with our company, and we just made him the biggest star of our company. So now CM Punk's basically the biggest star, one of the biggest stars in WWE, and the biggest star of your fucking brand! Fucking kidding me? I'm not saying I don't have hope for him, because, you know, I think they can recover. But Dynasty better be one of your greatest fucking pay-per-views of all time in order for people to stop thinking about what y'all did on Wednesday night. That is the only fucking way for people to forget, for wrestling fans to forget, oh wait, they did that goofy shit 2 weeks ago. Dynasty better be a fucking banger. Dynasty better be a fucking banger of a show. That's the only way we're going to, you know, for at least a moment, have us forget about what the fuck y'all did on Wednesday night. I've said enough. Now we're going to get into the real show. With that being said, let us begin. What's going on, guys? Zach from the Wrestling Relations Podcast here, and welcome to episode 386 of the YLP Podcast. So glad to have you guys here with me on this fine Saturday, and I hope you're enjoying your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast, and as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. It is Saturday, April 13th, 2024. 1 week removed from WrestleMania weekend. And to be brutally honest, as the title of this episode says, and as Michael Cole said on night 2 of WrestleMania 40, damn it, I love professional wrestling. The biggest thing that my mind went to immediately once we saw what we saw from WrestleMania weekend, because I said it on the WrestleMania podcast last week, this has the chance to be better than 7x7. This had that chance. I was going into it feeling that way. This had a chance to be the greatest WrestleMania of all time. Now, to answer that question, because I know that there's many people on social media who have been talking about it, is this better than 17? In my mind, no. It put on a solid effort, but I'll explain a little bit as to why. WrestleMania 40 weekend, not only brought WWE to a level that we haven't seen in quite some time. The anticipation for this WrestleMania was at its highest level. This was the biggest, legitimate, by the numbers, the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Biggest WrestleMania of all time, if you look at the numbers. I don't even want to talk much about NXT Stand and Deliver, to be brutally honest with you. That's how I feel about WrestleMania 40 right now. I will say a couple of things. Good luck to Bron Breakker on his call-up. I thought they, you know, since Breaker was in the call-up, he would lose the tag titles at Stand and Deliver and then have the rematch with Axiom and Nathan Frazier, but that wasn't to be the case. It was the opposite. Corbin and Breaker retain. Axiom and Nathan Frazier win the tag team championships on Tuesday. That begins his call-up, so good luck to him. Baron Corbin, I mean, if he stays in NXT, that'd be pretty cool, because I think, you know, that's where he's looking pretty good right now. Roxanne Perez becoming the NXT Women's Championship once again pretty much sets up her and Julia somewhere down the line, possibly to Stand and Deliver next year, who knows. But good match, really good solid match. Perez, you know, in her heel-like self, doing the damn thing. And I was very shocked that actually beat Lyra Valkyrie for your championship. I actually thought she was going to be done too, but it was not to be. Ilya Dragunov, Tony D'Angelo, stiff in a good way. Pause. Dragunov D'Angelo actually was better than I thought it was going to be. Going into it, I wasn't really too hype on this one. The way they told the story, though, getting into the match itself, I was like, oh, that actually works. And they didn't start shooting, but they was thrown down in the ring, and that was a great NXT championship. I wouldn't say great NXT championship match. It was a solid NXT championship match. I will put it on that level. Dragunov retaining, of course. Then we heard the news that Dragunov's going to be coming up. Not going to be coming up anytime soon. But he did have his main roster technically debut on the Raw after Mania, defeating Shinsuke Nakamura, and was a hard-hitting matchup. I haven't seen that one yet, but I might have to go back and check it out. Dragunov's about to be him in 2024, and I can't wait for that. But the main reason why I enjoyed Stand and Deliver was Trick Williams versus Carmelo Hayes. Was it better than I thought it was going to be? Surprisingly not. I thought it was going to be a little bit more than we were going to get out of it. Good match nonetheless. Right person won. Hayes, we already knew, was getting called up to the main roster anyway. So we knew Trick Williams was going to win, and I just wanted to see how the match was going to go. Good match. Good main event. Good way for Carmelo Hayes to go out. I mean, he's still got a little bit of storyline left before he comes up to the main roster, but this was a good little match here. Good match, good main event, solid way to go out, and of course, like I said, right man won. That's that. I mean, all across the board, I won't do any, you know, particulars or grades for this one. But I will say, the fact that I was 3-4 in my predictions on this one kind of sucked, but hey, it bees what it bees, it is what it is. But this was a good show. This was a good showing by NXT. I mean, most of us were pretty much like just hype for WrestleMania 40. There wasn't much, you know. I mean, yeah, I wanted to see NXT Stand and Deliver to see how it would go down. Good show. Solid show across the board. But I was really focused on 40. So I was wanting to make sure I said my little piece of NXT Stand and Deliver before we get into it. But before I get into that, let me finish my, you know, little intro here. Of course, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 385 episodes of the YLP podcast, do not hesitate to hit your boy up. Nice little voice message over on podcasters.spotify.com/YoungLionsPerspective, over on podcasters.spotify.com/WrestleAddictRadio. You know, say what's up. Let me know what you guys are thinking about that. And of course, you can hit me up with a nice little email over at youngLionsPerspective@gmail.com. WrestleMania 40. What a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. I mean, I'm not going to talk about everything that happened on this show, because it'd be about 7 parts, and it would be like a 14-hour show, and I got time for that. Neither do you. we have things to do. So I'm going to try to keep it condensed to the, you know, more important bits of WrestleMania, if you will. If I may. Of course, the main focus being Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns for the undisputed WWE Universal Championship. And of course, a tag team match that was going to determine what the stipulation was going to be. Forty-four minutes and 35 seconds. Now people will probably say that's too long, and I would tell you I don't care. I thoroughly enjoyed this. I thoroughly enjoyed this tag match. And of course, Rock and Reigns had to win anyway. just made sense. Seeing Rocket Spear by Roman was pretty fucking hilarious. Of course, the memes, you know, when you hurt your little brother and he screams too loud and shit, that was great. That's always a great meme. Good tag team match, though. Really good tag team match. And I kind of... I had many titles in my head for what I wanted to call this episode. Damn it, I love professional wrestling just made the most sense in the world for this particular episode. I also had, they started shooting. I'll get into why I said that in the Discord chat with Fretz and Nate in just a little bit. I'll explain that. They start shooting. So anyways, I started blasting. But no, not that. But this was awesome. Like the main, having that weekend long storyline of, you know, the Bloodline and Seth and Cody. And that being like, yes, there are other matches on this card, but this is our biggest focus of this. They presented it very well. Of course, Brock Reigns winning, getting, that means Bloodline rules. And it just, like I said on the Friends of Media podcast too, it just made sense. Because even I said this, you couldn't do, if you had Rhodes and Rollins win, you wouldn't be able to do a night two that you want to do. Because all members of the Bloodline would have been barred from ringside. That's how that works. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just makes sense. Like, why wouldn't you want to have all the shit you want? You know what I'm saying? Like, that would just be awesome. That would just be everything you wanted to be and more. And then we got into night two. Oh, night two main event. There's a lot to be said about this main event. Some would say this is the greatest WrestleMania main event of all time. And I wouldn't doubt that for an absolute fucking second. I wouldn't doubt that for a second. Why would I? And even before we get into the main event of night two, I would be a fool if I didn't, you know, do the one thing that needed to be done and give Roman Reigns his flowers. 1,316 days as champion. The likes of which we hadn't seen in many moons. Comes back, what was it? SummerSlam? Because I know it was after the Swamp match and when that was just absolute garbage. And we were just dreading, well, SummerSlam in general. And then, well, pandemic, everything, which is, ugh. But then we had, what was it, Payback? And we had the return of Roman. Well, it was SummerSlam where we had it. And then they had that fucking Payback the week after, which made no fucking sense. But hey, we ball regardless. And then Roman Reigns comes back. It was it was supposed to be a triple threat if Roman Reigns signs the contract. Of course, Wyatt and Strowman were in their feud, and it really didn't fucking matter because Roman Reigns did come out, did sign the contract, beat both men, and then was just like, yeah, this is my yard again. But this wasn't the Roman we were used to. This wasn't the Roman of like 2015, 2016, when he was absolutely insufferable, saying shit like suffering succotash. We didn't like that, man. We didn't like that one. That version of Roman is just no. Disrespectful of the highest regard, and we didn't want it. And WWE was trying to force it down our fucking throats in the agenda. And we already knew what time it was. We were just like, just get it over with. And then they didn't. And then they did it at SummerSlam. And we were just like, thank God. And, you know, ever since then, it's just been whatever. But Roman coming back and the character he is now... Well, not what he is now, and that, you know, but what he became. Like he became what we wanted Roman to be in the first place. I still hold to this day that I am of the belief that Roman should have always been the one to turn on the Shield.
And because he had it written all over him. Seth Rollins was more of a babyface, at least at that point in my eyes, than, you know, Seth Rollins was a babyface, Joe was the heel, and Ambrose was the tweener. He was the anti-hero. That's what I saw all three of them as. And if they ever had someone turn, the plan B, it should have been Roman. 100%. Seth tried his best to make that, you know, legit, but to me, in my eyes, it didn't look right. And it was dreadful. And I didn't care. Because if it weren't for the fucking New Japan, I wouldn't be back in pro wrestling anyway. So there you go with that. But he finally became who we knew WWE can turn him into. The biggest heel in the company. And that's how it feels for me. You know me. Y'all know me well enough to know I love a good heel. Roman was in every shape and form a fantastic heel. One of the greatest heels of this generation. One of the greatest heels in wrestling, period. After he became champion, he began forming the bloodline with Jay. Jimmy wasn't down with it. Put on a banger with Jey Uso in the the Hell in a Cell I Quit match. Weird flex, but okay, whatever, it worked. Fucking should have gotten Asuka for that, like. And from there we went. And from there it grew. Jimmy finally acknowledges Roman. Tribal Chief. Solo was doing his thing in NXT. He then comes up. But that initial thought of seeing Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns together at the same time shocked the world. Jesus Christ. That first image of those two together was something we were not prepared to see because we didn't think Roman was going to be in that capacity. And he became an integral in Paul Heyman, now WWE Hall of Famer. Congrats to that man. By the way, that speech was fucking incredible. Oh, I love that speech. One of the best speeches I'm sure they ever done. And that was from the heart of Paul Heyman. But having that turn into a thing, and then Sammy, the whole that whole ordeal jump in the bloodline, and Jay not trusting Sammy, and all that good stuff. Like, there's so many layers to this story of the bloodline. And it's still going. Just because Cody beat Roman, the bloodline storyline isn't over yet. We're not even close to being done. I will say this, though. Before going back into the Roman John. 1 year ago, we were all confused as to why Roman Reigns beat Cody Rhodes at 39. And I said in the Discord with Nate and Fretz that this is the reason why. So Cody can go through all the adversity he needed to go through the growing pains, to go through the ups and downs, all of it. Just to finally get the Royal Rumble match and then almost have that ruined by The Rock. But we ain't gonna talk about that right now. But getting the match he wanted. And then even though it was bloodline rules, Cody knew in his heart that it was his night and that he was going to be the one to finish his story. Lots of stories were finished, actually, at WrestleMania, which was pretty cool. But Cody was the one that needed to finish his story, and that he did. We finally got what we wanted. Damn you, Triple H and freaking long-term storytelling shit. It's so good. We got the result we wanted. And I'm sure, and I know there was, I've seen the reactions from streamers, you know, who wanted Roman to win and felt some type of way about that. It was time. Getting back into Roman. 1,316 days. What a run. Probably like something we never are going to see ever again. That's what's great about pro wrestling sometimes. When you have people in the company willing to not just have 3-week pushes or start stop booking or anything of that nature, right? Not a fan of that, me personally. I don't know how you feel, but I hate it. I hated that bit of whose name we will not be saying anytime soon here on this program. But this felt different. A lot of things were culminating at WrestleMania. And for Roman to have 4 consecutive WrestleManias, main events, put on bangers with some of the top guys, to beat to beat Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Bryan Danielson, Edge, Randy Orton, LA Knight, the list goes on and on. Was it 65 defenses? Something of that nature? Even though Gunther had 102 of them things, but hold him in story for a little while. This was probably one of the best heel championship runs I've ever seen in my entire life. And probably the best one I will ever see in my entire life. Roman was him before Carmelo Hayes even ever thought he was going to be him. Roman Reigns was him. His championship reign was him. You know what I'm saying? It was this the true stuff of legend. 4 years, almost 4 years to the day. Almost 4 years to the day. And I mean, and granted, I'm sure the Roman diehards would have been like, yeah, we need, he needed to pass Hogan. It would have only gotten him into third place all time. In the grand scheme of things, it was time for Roman to drop a title. It was the perfect time. As we said at 39 in the Discord and on the WrestleMania podcast I did with Fretz, make sure y'all go check that out if you want to check how we predicted WrestleMania 40. Good times. Shout out to Fretz for having me on. But this was just that damn good. It was a classic run. A very classic run. The likes of which we will probably never see again. You have to give Roman his flowers for this. Roman Reigns deserves his flowers for not only being one of the best heel champions of a generation, but for carrying the pandemic shit of WWE. He carried that when he came back into the company. He carried that. He was the top draw. He was the guy. Like, it is sensational for what this man has gone through and still is going through. With oral chemotherapy and pretty much being having to be on it for the rest of his life, that doesn't deter him from doing what he does best. What a fucking run. I even said it plenty of times down here on the podcast, man. This is what Roman Reigns needed to be. It is just one of those things where you just have to appreciate it, regardless of whether you kayfabe hate Roman or you literally hate Roman, which why I shudder to think why. But no, I have a profound respect for Roman Reigns. I have a profound respect for Roman in this run. And that's where my respect for him came from, because he became the guy who I knew he could be, and he showed out his ass for 4 years. Bloodline everything, like, yes. Yes, Cody, yes, I know Cody had to win. I picked Cody to win. I knew Cody had to win. But even Cody Rhodes knew after the Raw after Mania that he he knew that Roman deserved his flowers. 1,316-day reign just to don't pull, get pulled out of people's asses every fucking day. It has to be right guy, right time. How can we ensure that we prolong this and make it be what it actually was? Gotta be careful with it. I mean, yes, Triple H brought it home, but the person whose name we will not actually say on this podcast any longer actually created that. That was man's vision. Respect to him for that. That's about as far as we take it. But then Triple H took it to a new level. Took it to a whole new level. And brought it on home on Sunday night. Sen-fucking-sational. I love the main event. As overbooked as we knew it would be, I love the main event. It was, without a doubt, the greatest WrestleMania main event of all time. Legit. Biggest, yes. Best? I'll discuss that at a later date. But I can 100% say, as I said earlier, 40 does not beat 17. 17 is still, I actually went back and watched 17 and that was just a perfect WrestleMania. Then I saw 40 and I'm just like, we were close, but we're going to talk about it. Well, not everything, but I want to make sure I give proper respect to those who actually, you know, were in the main events and whatnot. Cody winning the world title is a great way to start this new era. It had to happen, regardless of what you think about, you know, Roman continuing his reign and go and surpassing Hogan. Like, you weren't going to be able to do what you need to do with Roman because you had to ensure that Philadelphia didn't riot in the fucking streets. For one, for two, it was the right time. It was the perfect proper time. If it wasn't going to be at 39, it had to be at 40. As I said in the podcast, and like myself and Fred said on the WrestleMania podcast when we did our predictions, if not now, when? And if not now, if not, you know, Cody, who? That was the two questions we asked after 39 in the Discord. Excuse me. If not now, when? WrestleMania 40. If not Cody, who? Cody. Cody had to win. Cody had to win. Cody had to have the championship. As we were going into the new era, it was just sensational. And one time for Stephanie McMahon actually fucking, like, starting night two off fantastically. And shout out to Triple H for actually showing love to Stephanie. Like, hey, she looks great. We know Triple H. You were staring. You were just a man. You are merely just a man. And that is your wife. I fully understand it. It is a beautiful thing to have her back into the fold. I'm just going to put that out there right now. Fantastic moment. That was the moment I said they started shooting. Again, I will explain in a little bit. But that main event, everything that needed to happen, happened. Granted, we didn't get Austin. I'm sure Austin probably had his reasons. And that's all right. But The Undertaker was still, you know, in it. And I'm like, Undertaker? Don't know the connection right there in the moment, but hey, let's fucking go. And then I forgot. Yokozuna, Rikishi thing. Yeah, that part. The Rock. A couple times, and then Roman, you know, retiring, quote unquote, retiring him, and, you know, having Roman be his yard. That part, it was just fantastic. Everything was just fantastic. Even at the end, after the three count was finished, and Samantha Irvin trying, overcome with emotion, announcing Cody Rhodes as the new WWE champion, the undisputed WWE champion. That will be a thing coming in soon. I promise you that. They want to dead that Universal Championship faster than I can say, come on. You know what I'm saying? New era means Cody Rhodes had to be Roman Reigns. but let's make sure we give Roman his flowers. And for the crowd in Philly to say thank you, all them saying thank you, Roman, it was well fucking deserved. I granted, yesterday he mourned, and he had every right to mourn, and then, but it was right back to day one, and I was like, Roman about to do some shit. But at least for right now, let's appreciate the fact that Cody Rhodes finally finished his story. There's still, at least with the bloodline, there's a lot more story to tell. Hopefully, as for some reason, according to Meltzer, Mans was talking about Rock versus Cody at 41. I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind. Night one, main event, Rock Reigns, let's get it popping. Jacob Fatu showing up real quick. Tama Tonga should show up real quick. Who's to say you can't have, you know, Solo turn on Roman, him join the Rock version, then you got fucking Fatu and Tama Tonga, then you got them, you know, Jimmy and Jay coming back together to, you know, side with Roman and have that being the whole thing, leading to a match with Rock versus Reigns at WrestleMania 41 Night 1. Main event. That's your, I said it on the WrestleMania podcast, this is the bottom of the sixth. Bottom of the third was after WrestleMania 39. We're in the bottom of the third. This is now where we just passed the bottom of the sixth going into the top of the seventh. Bottom nine is Rock Reigns at WrestleMania 41 Night 1 main event. That's your end of the Bloodline storyline. What an amazing five years it has been. Well, at 41 it will be five. What an amazing 4 years it has been so far. But the goal now, at least from what I see for Roman, is to have him become one of the biggest baby faces of the company. That is my goal. This is the mistake, you know, the prior regime had in terms of Roman, and now Triple H is correcting the mistake. This is how you're supposed to book Roman Reigns in the first place. As a heel. Then becoming the babyface. Then we accept him as the babyface, and then he goes on a fantastic babyface run. That's all WWE had to do in the beginning. Make Roman Reigns the biggest heel of the company. Have him be a part of the authority. Have him do everything Seth Rollins did, but better. And then at some point, turn him babyface. How? I don't know. Maybe I'll have to figure that out one of these days and do a little booking article. For the Articles of War, of course. But it's just, Roman deserves his flowers. Roman deserves his flowers. Roman deserves his flowers. 1316 day reigns. Day reigns just don't come out of fucking nowhere. Let's just get that one thing there. But yeah, what a weekend long main event storyline that culminated in what we wanted. Cody Rhodes is the new WWE champion, and we'll see what happens. And I'm excited to see what a Cody title run looks like. The other thing that occurred, the big ting, of course, you know, with the World Heavyweight Championship, we kind of knew Drew was going to beat Seth, and that happened. Not a bad 10-minute match, though. Solid 10-minute match. You know, Rollins, you know, looking at Drew and be like, you fucking deserve it, which he did, you know, having his moment with the fans, and it was to the T of what I have been saying for a very long fucking time. And I'm going to give myself my own flowers on this one. I knew for a very long time, and it had been reported that at least up until WrestleMania, this was already on the books for 6 months. Yeah, I'm in my stance right now. What's up? So basically, they had this already locked up in November. They knew in November that Priest was gonna pretty much, you know, cash in for the World Heavyweight Championship 6 months in advance. And I know there was some of y'all that didn't believe me, and that's fine. I told you so. Never a doubt in my mind. That was legitimately the plan, and I already knew it way in advance. WWE did too. This was what needed to happen. I gave it to you 100% from jump. It was always after Backlash. After that match he had with Bad Bunny at Backlash, and had a banger of a match with, not only had a banger of a match, but make sure he took care of Bad Bunny, he was a made man. They reported it as such, that he was a made man. Damian Priest was always going to win Money in the Bank. Damian Priest was always going to become, at some point, World Heavyweight Champion. And no better time to do it than at WrestleMania, beating Drew McIntyre, who was formerly a member of the Judgment Day. Lest we forget about that. That was your red herring. That was your red herring. Right there. That was your biggest clue of why Priest was always going to take the title from McIntyre at WrestleMania. But what I didn't account for was the part of CM Punk coming back in November and just being like, holy shit, this might be weird. So wait, Punk was going to pin Priest? No, Priest was going to pin Punk? That would have been crazy. But unfortunately, Punk got injured, and McIntyre being the reason that Punk got injured, not really, but kayfabe was, yes. And having Priest become the World Heavyweight Champion is just sensational. I love this press conference. He went from homeless. 10 years later, now he's the World Heavyweight Champion in WWE. Punishment Martinez is the World Heavyweight Champion, man. I saw this man in NXT, and I knew he was going to be a big fucking deal if he was booked right. Got put with Edge in the Judgment Day, which was the greatest decision Edge ever made. Put Rhea Ripley into the Judgment Day, also one of the best decisions. Finn Balor, weird flex, but okay. But of course, that's after the Supernatural bullshit, but regardless. Priest as World Heavyweight Champion just makes sense. Again, if he didn't have a banger match with Bad Bunny, this would not be happening right now. None of it. Priest stepped up. Priest showed up. Priest showed out. And he got the payoff at WrestleMania, becoming the World Heavyweight Champion. Furthering the storyline between CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. I should have known Mans was cooked the second he put out that damn tweet. Bored at work, LOL. I mean, right next to his, you know, lovely wife. I am just a man. I am merely just a man. You seen it. It was only our ladies probably looking, was just like, Don't act like you didn't. We all did it. We all did. It's fine. I don't judge. Go Drew. He was cooked then. But Drew McIntyre, of course, did become World Heavyweight Champion for all of 5 minutes. Then decided to just get in CM Punk's face, run his fucking mouth, yada, 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 and poke the bear too fucking much, and then CM Punk did what he had to do. You seen it. Priest comes out. Bops him upside the head with the cash in. They didn't do no foolishness. Are you sure? No, they went straight to the cash in. And yeah, they did that. They did all of that. Every last bit of it. And it was the right call. The fact that you had Reigns and McIntyre pretty much allow themselves, and I'm surprised I didn't remember this for Reigns at least, allow the trauma of the past to get to them. With Reigns, it was basically the drama that, you know, Seth Rollins perfectly coming out in the Shield gear and having Roman feel some type of way. Of course, back in 2014, Seth being the one to turn on the Shield and having, you know, him get crushed by the chair. Roman, instead of focusing on Cody and knocking the dirt, and I'll, you know, I'm going to dirt out of that man's hair, went after Seth. And returned the favor. He probably got his receipt 10 years later. But it was enough for Cody to get 3 crossroads and get the victory. Roman's emotional trauma of the past, of what he couldn't let go, what he wished he still had, got the better of him. McIntyre with CM Punk, he allowed that to lose his focus. And CM Punk took advantage and bopped him upside the head with the tricep brace, which allowed Priest to become World Heavyweight Champion after the cash-in. Sensational. What a time to be alive atop the top. And one other person that is now at the top is one Bayley. I am quite pleased with Bayley as champion. It made sense. They've been running this program for 2 years. Crazy that, isn't it? When long-term storytelling actually pays off. It's a beautiful time. What a wonderful time. And if you're new to professional wrestling, if this was your first WrestleMania, yeah, I think you're in good hands, and you just got a big warm hug from grandma as she made your chocolate chip cookies. Bayley becoming champion made sense. That was just it was a really good match. And this was probably the better women's title matches on the card. Not to say Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch wasn't a solid match. And kudos to Rhea Ripley for, being vulnerable and allowing us to know that she had a panic attack 2 hours prior to her match with Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch having a fever of 102 earlier in the week and dealing with strep throat. Like, that was wild, bruv. And I understand if I'm not saying if neither of those things happened, the match would be better. But we got a really good way to open the weekend with Rhea Ripley and Becky Lynch. It's just that to me, Io Sky versus Bayley was better. And it was. Culminated with a wonderful finish. This was just a week. This was just like a weekend of just like, this is what to expect for the future. We're going to give you what you want. We're gonna give you long-term storytelling. We're gonna give you solid matches that actually make sense. We're gonna give different characters a chance to actually shine in the company. This is, you can call it the new era, the Paul Levesque era. I just call it the professional. This is now professional wrestling. This is what I have wanted ever since I was a kid. Sports entertainment be damned. Yes, and sports. Yes, and trust me, I was thoroughly sports entertained when it came to WrestleMania. But the fact that we're now that WWE is now shying away from sports entertainment warms my heart. This is the professional wrestling era of WWE. This is like, we got Ruthless Aggression vibes, we got Attitude Era vibes, we got the vibes of those. And the only person that can actually pull it off is Triple H. No other man creatively on the planet can do it like he can. I mean, he made NXT what it is today. Without Triple H's mindset, and then Shawn Michaels and Ryan Ward and all those guys in the fold, we probably wouldn't be in this era right now. Certain things, of course, happened. But I'm sure a lot of us are glad that it happened, it still does suck, but it paved the way for what we wanted to see in professional wrestling. Long-term storylines, wonderful matches, characters we actually give a fuck about, investment in the product, actually leaning into doing what's right for the fans. Like, everything about, well, night two was just flat out perfect. But just seeing like Bayley win, Damian Priest win, Cody win, all in night two, fucking great. LA Knight gets a dub. Logan Paul gets the WrestleMania victory, defeating KO and Orton. Like, starting off night two hot with freaking, McIntyre and Seth. Everything about night two was just fucking brilliant. 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 Everything about night two was brilliant. Let me see. But like, even night one, and this was probably the biggest shock of them all, Sami Zayn defeating Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. I was not expecting it. I think many people expected Gunther to walk out of Philadelphia as still the Intercontinental Champion, but unfortunately, his title reign ended at 666 days. And a lot of people were just talking shit online, talking about, if they just pushed it to Sunday, we wouldn't have had that. But, again, I was expecting Gunther to win. I expected Gunther to win, and they swerved the living fuck out of me. And Sami Zayn is now the Intercontinental Champion. I had said it for the longest time. It was going to be, I was hoping for Dragunov for him for to be the one to have that, be that guy that Walter just couldn't shake. Being the one that he couldn't shake. Being the guy that he couldn't shake. Being the guy that he couldn't get rid of. But Sami Zayn, man. Wow. Absolutely wow. Absolutely wow. I think when we look back at WrestleMania 40, you know, seeing, you know, Rey Mysterio in the ring again, the Usos versus Uso match wasn't that bad. I expected it to be better. The wrong tag team champions won, and I still hate the fact that both sets of titles split. We'll figure it out. I will say it does make sense, though, for R-Truth finally having his WrestleMania moment at the age of 52, and he's been there since he's like 25 or 27 or something like that. So for him getting his flowers, I'll take that. I'll allow that one to happen, because then he had the segment with the Judgment Day, and that shit was funny as fuck. A-Town Down Under is the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. Okay. As long as the New Catch Republic take the titles from him, that'd be great. Do that bit. It works. Jade Cargill, Bianca Belair, and Naomi. The Sisterhood coming together, defeating Dakota Control. Damage Control was sensational. Jade getting the pin made sense. There's just a lot to like about this Mania. There was just so much to love about Mania. Is it the greatest WrestleMania of all time? Again, no. Is it in top five? Abso-fucking-lutely. I would definitely put this in my top five. 100%. Overall, again, by the numbers, greatest WrestleMania, biggest WrestleMania of all time. By the numbers. Biggest WrestleMania WrestleMania ever. Greatest WrestleMania, tis not. Some matches fell short. You know, it'd be like that sometimes. It's still top five, 100%. Just of the grandeur of it, the big matches that we did had, Sami Zayn, you know, shocking Gunther to become the Intercontinental Champion again. Like, that was a crazy reign. And I'm going to give Gunther his flowers real quick. 105 defenses of the title made the title actually feel relevant. Longest reigning champion of all time. I don't think they're going to be breaking that one anytime soon. Gunther's now going to be gunning for that World Heavyweight Championship. Either the World Heavyweight Championship, or what I hope is going to happen, they draft him over to SmackDown and he starts gunning for the WWE Championship. And I wouldn't mind seeing Gunther winning the Royal Rumble next year and then facing Cody and then taking the title from him at Mania. Unless Sami Zayn chases it and then we get some crazy shit. But at least right now, Sami Zayn is definitely going to be getting a push. Big time now that he's an Intercontinental Champion. And of course, being looked at, you know, for a possible World Heavyweight Championship match somewhere in the future. Gunther's right there too. 105 defenses just, you know. When we look up the Intercontinental Championship in the picture, in the dictionary, Gunther's face is who we're going to see. And Triple H said it. We're going to be breaking some records. Oh, he broke record. He broke that and then some. Gunther will be looking at World Championship aspirations definitely in the near future. And I would say this. Put Gunther in the King of the Ring tournament and have him win. Why not? Why fucking not? Hell, at this point, honestly, if CM Punk comes back in time for SummerSlam, you get CM Punk versus McIntyre, and you don't got to worry about the championship. Maybe Priest versus Gunther. Who knows? Who knows what can happen, especially with the draft coming up in a month? A lot of things are going to change. All the parts are going to be moved around. Roman Reigns going to be going to Raw on his own. Who knows? Who fucking knows? What I do know is this. And I'm going to end the WrestleMania review on this because that's what I wanted to focus on. The bigger stuff. The big moments of that. And I knew Roman Reigns' stuff was going to take a lot of time. But I'm going to leave it like this before we get into the particulars and the final grade. WrestleMania 40 was definitely the beginning of a new era. They started shooting. Like, from everything they did with, you know, letting you know, like, this is not the era of whose name we will not say. This is the era of Paul Levesque. This is the era of Triple H. This is Triple H's era. This is the, if they want to call it the Paul Levesque era, the new era. Again, I'm calling it the professional wrestling era of WWE. Michael Cole said so. Damn it, I love professional wrestling. When we look back at WrestleMania 40, I'd say about next year or so, we'll look back at an event that marked the beginning of something that we have been wanting for a very long time. All we wanted was professional wrestling. I wanted good professional wrestling on my TV, on my telly. And now we are getting it, and we have been getting it for the better part of almost 2 years now. I know there's a lot of people out there that were kind of concerned about what, you know, if Triple H would be able to handle it. He has done quite well, and for his second WrestleMania, he blew 39 out of the fucking water. He blew 39 out of the fucking water and then some. Again, this is not the greatest WrestleMania of all time, but it certainly can at least be up in the top five. Without a doubt. 40 was special. It had a feeling of special around it from the moment Cody won the Rumble to when The Rock came back and became a dick. He became Final Boss Rock. That was that, all of that we were concerned about. That was great. Roman Reigns still holding it down, having the banger against fucking, I don't think it was Sami Zayn. Against Sami Zayn in Elimination Chamber. That was absolutely great. To everything that occurred on, you know, this last weekend. Biggest WrestleMania of all time, best WrestleMania main event of all time. A weekend we will definitely never forget. Again, so many good moments from this show to pick apart. But I can't do it in two parts because let's just enjoy the fact that we got a great Mania. A great Mania that we can hold our hats on and say, yeah, we got one. We got a good one. Back-to-back good ones. Sans the last 5 minutes of WrestleMania 39, but we're going to let that go. Back-to-back manias, the future is bright for WWE. This basically said, we here now. This is a new era of the company. This is the professional wrestling era, the professional wrestling era of WWE. And those six words, I think, from Michael Cole speak volumes about this weekend. Damn it, I love professional wrestling. Let us get into the particulars as we normally do with pay-per-views, and WrestleMania is no different and no exception. But we do go a little bit, you know, grinder with this. Of course, usually we know we have best worst matches of the weekend, you know, MVP, final grade. I'm starting off with the MVPs because there are two people in particular who I'm going to give this MVP to, yet I'm just going to do it as male MVP, female MVP, out of respect. Male MVP will go to Seth. Is 100% going to Seth Rollins. 100%. Man's was down bad all weekend. Down bad all weekend. Didn't take the pin in the Seth Rock Reigns match. Didn't take that pin. We just recreated 39, and that was what a beautiful callback. The callbacks, all the callbacks, fantastic. But Seth Rollins did work this weekend. On top of losing the World Heavyweight Championship, then having to lose it to Drew McIntyre, who then lost it in about 5 seconds, well, 9 seconds, which is crazy. So Drew McIntyre is two, and then Priest becomes the third. Excuse me. But yes, men's MVP, 100% Seth Rollins. And in WWE ladies' side, it will forever go to Samantha Irvin. I'm sure there have been many people that were just saying she's already now the greatest announcer of all time. I can't put her in that realm just yet, but she is definitely on her way. There is four that I can truly say, at least in WWE, one who's not in AEW now, so you already know who one is. But it's, for me, Finkel, Garcia, Chimmel, Tony Kimmel, and Justin Roberts. Like, those are my four. Of course, when Willie Garcia called Triple H the former World Heavyweight Champion and he just damn near blew a gasket, that was just brilliance. But Finkel is just one of the best, period. 100%. None like him. David Penzer, I almost forgot him. Holy shit. Yeah, that's my five right there. That's my childhood and me growing up. But Samantha Irvin definitely will be in that conversation as greatest. What a weekend she had. And I love the fact that she doesn't look at the results, doesn't know the results beforehand. She wants to give you genuine emotion, as she did in the main event of WrestleMania Night 2 with Cody Rhodes winning the championship. That was pure emotion. And for anyone who's trying to hate on that, you can go suck, you go do what Paul Heyman said and suck my fucking dick. Bees what it bees, it is what it is. Don't like it, I do not care. You have your opinion, I have mine. But in this case, Samantha Irvin absolutely fucking killed it. So those are my legit co-MVPs. My legit co-MVPs of WrestleMania. None like them. What a weekend. Match of the night. Easily, of course, Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes 2. That was just a sensational main event. And they overbooked it for 33 minutes and 25 seconds, but it was perfect overbooking. They did it right. It was just like you're baking a solid cake, bruv. You gotta know all the ingredients just right, solid measurements, all that, and it just came out divine. This was a sensational way to end the feud with Rhodes and Reigns. They didn't do it properly on AEW Dynamite with Samoa Joe and Dustin Rhodes for the. We ain't gonna talk about that, but that's a whole different thing. But oof. Still throwing strays out even when I don't need to. This was just flat out the best match on the card. It was the most anticipated match on the card. It was at times the most predictable match on the card, the most predictable choice in the card. And we finally got the right winner this time. And it was sensational. Everything that needed to happen, for at least for me, happened. But Rhodes and Reigns closing out the show the way that they needed to, what a main event. What a main event, and one that we will remember for till the end of time. As far as the worst match of the weekend goes, there is a lot. There's a good amount. The six-pack tag team ladder match, you could say it was a bad one, depending on who you wanted to win. But I'm actually going to be going with Rey Mysterio and Andrade versus Dirty Dom and Santos Escobar. This was a match that they kind of, like, it was one of those they threw together at the last minute and it acted as if it did, and the wrong team won. But I'm honestly at the point where I'm just like, I just want to see Rey Mysterio catch a beat down and just everyone turn on him and, you know, Andrade and, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. That's just how I feel. But this match kind of was just nah for me. Just wasn't it. And it's unfortunate because I do love all four of these guys and they're fantastic. But this was just, again, this was better suited for SmackDown. And it's rare that I say that nowadays, but this match was better suited for SmackDown. Try as they may, they couldn't leave me off the hook. But yeah, that is the worst match of WrestleMania weekend. And I don't want to give it that, but look at the rest of the card. You know, even the Philadelphia Street Fight actually made sense to me. And I was just like, I just really kind of really wanted the Karrion Kross and the boys to win. But when Bubba Ray Dudley come out, I'm just like, well, that's not happening, but let's just see how it goes anyway. And we got tables, and it was fun, and it was always good. So I'll take that. But yeah, that Rey Mysterio Andrade, no, that was not the move. We could have left that one off the card for SmackDown, and we would have been perfectly okay with that. At least I would have been. Which leads to the final grade, and I'm going to do this quickly. if certain matches on night one did what they needed to do, this would have legitimately been the first A-plus show in the history of the YLP podcast. Hands down, without question, A-plus. That didn't happen, though. But it's still an A show. It is an A-minus show. 100%. WrestleMania 40 for me gets an A-. Had certain matches on the card been better, maybe if certain results were, you know, different, this would have been a definite A+. But this, at least from, this was a damn fine WrestleMania. A damn fine WrestleMania that we as fans should be proud of. That we should appreciate and that we're probably going to go back and watch because we're just those kind of fiends. Just to re-see moments. Just to re-see Cody becoming the champion. And seeing what looks like now the Paul Levesque era in WWE. A minus is the grade. That's what I'm winning with. And that's going to conclude as episode 386 of the YLP podcast. When we come back, we're going to close out the show in proper YLP fashion and get you ready for episode 387 of the YLP podcast. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Well, guys, that's going to be it for episode 386 of the YLP podcast. As always, I want to thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of the podcast. And as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. Of course, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 385 episodes of the YLP podcast, do not hesitate. Hit your boy up with a voice message over at podcasters.spotify.com/youngLionsPerspective or podcasters.spotify.com/WrestleAddictRadio. Also, you can leave your boy a nice little email over at youngLionsPerspective@gmail.com. If you want to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast, you can follow me on my social media over at Twitter at YLPerspective. That's capital YLP Perspective. You can also find me over on Instagram at young_lions_perspective. Follow me on all these platforms to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast. So, Mr. YLP, what is going to be going down in episode 387 next week? Well, we're going to be getting back to the grand scheme of things, talking about all the news that's fit for me to talk about with a brand spanking new episode of News of the Week, the show that discusses all the news that's fit for me to talk about. So we'll probably be discussing more about the fallout from AEW Dynamite, probably some stuff coming out of WrestleMania. Who knows? But whatever we find news-wise, that is what we're going to be discussing. That is all that is going to be going down next Saturday. Back to the news. I will say this. Before we close out the weekend, I will say this is probably one of the best weekends I have had in quite some time as a professional wrestling fan, and I am thankful that professional wrestling is back in the lexicon of WWE. No more sports entertainment. Thank the Lord. And yeah, professional wrestling is back in WWE, and that is all I've wanted. That is all I've ever wanted in WWE, and now we are in probably one of the biggest boom periods ever since the lead-up to probably 17. We're in that kind of boom period. Like, we're in, like, Attitude Era, Ruthless Aggression boom period right now, and I think it's safe to say we're in good hands with Triple H, the CCO of WWE. Everything about WrestleMania 40 was just a solid spectacle, and I am thankful every day that I am a wrestling fan and we can get to enjoy moments like this. And we get to enjoy moments like the ones we saw this past last weekend at WrestleMania 40. Other than that, guys, enjoy the remainder of your weekend. If you're going out this weekend, please, you know, drink responsibly. Drink one for yours truly. Make sure you take that Uber or Lyft home so you don't have to worry about getting that DUI and a five-figure dealing in terms of guapo. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a fantastic week. And I'll see you guys right back here next Saturday for episode 387 of the YLP podcast. See you.
This has been a WrestleAddict Radio branded podcast.